favorite person in the room over here right now is a little boy by the name of Noah. Hi, Noah. Come and chubby, don't worry, it's not class, it's okay. Come. The chair's here. Well, this is so nice. Who's taking pictures? I guess I am. Hola. Fix. No, not pictures of me. Wrong way. You gotta go pictures the other way. You gotta go pictures in that direction. Okay. So, are you ready? Oh, there you are. First of all, we give a big, very big thank you. And then the car to the Lullingers. And for all the help, the helpers of the Lullingers. Renee. Okay. Doesn't matter, it's okay. Oh, she won't have to. Okay. Please tell Renee a very big thank you. And so sorry for giving her extra work on a Sunday morning. Very appreciated. Well, okay, this is always like a highlight, really, of the year to get together and to be able to see alumni. Sometimes you're so engrossed in your job and the day-to-day frustrations and challenges that you sometimes forget the byproduct, you know? You forget what you're doing it all for, you know, sometimes. And these reunions give a certain, like, give a very big reminder of, like, right, this is why we rip our kishkas out. That was a nice way of saying it. this is what we work for, and it's really such a pleasure and such a nachas and such an honor for us to be involved. I take the liberty, Mrs. Schenk, for speaking in this piece on your behalf as well. But really, for anyone, remember, Rosenstein comes, and when Ms. Rosenstein was here in the summer as well, the reunions are, you know. First of all, it's special to us that you take the time out on a Sunday morning to come out, and you know, it shows that you still feel, you know, connected and at peace, and that's very special. I know that even though for me, 10:30, 11, 12 is early, I know you guys, most of you could be just waking up, right, Mommy? I caught the NF. Just to share with you a little bit where Tommy Dvorah is holding, and maybe I think my job is I'm supposed to say Vartar also, right? So yeah. I'll come up with something quickly. Yeah, so basically where Tommy Dvorah is holding is as follows. I don't know that we've ever been settled and on such an upward trajectory ever in our 13-year existence, meaning to say, in terms of the name of the school, in terms of the applicants, we have this year, meaning moving into next year, we have more applicants than we've ever had before, ever, by far, by far. Wow. Yeah. Fashionably on time. Right. Wait, who's that? What? Holy cow.
Yeah.
Wow. When'd you make it?
2 weeks ago.
Wow, no way. From Glasgow.
Where's that?
Where's that, huh? The other side of the world. Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. How special. Wow. Just for the reunion. I'm touched. It's unbelievable. Get the girl a drink, will you? I mean, like, water, so. I didn't mean a drink. We're in trouble with water.
Ask for shalom.
Right? It's okay. You can have a drink. I could use one, too. And this isn't being recorded, is it? Anyway, so I was just saying, it's an amazing thing, and the school's really on a high. It's really on a high, both in terms of the girls themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
He can take the podium. Yeah. He'll be more entertaining. Anyway. So it's really and the reason I share it with you is not just to gloat and tell you that we're so much better now than we were you. No, it's really just the opposite. It's really just the opposite. It's really because of you. It's really because of the years of building and building and building and building. Somebody just asked me recently this question, which is a very famous question. There's a lot of answers that you could take and a lot of directions you can go with this. But somebody just asked me, you know, come on, if the previous generations didn't get Mashiach, why should we? You know, like, get real. Do you know where I'm at? Do you know what I'm busy with? Do you know what I'm doing? Why should we get Mashiach? Why should we merit it if all these other great generations didn't have it? And again, there are many answers, but one of the basic answers is that we're standing on their shoulders. You know what I mean? We're standing on giant shoulders. And if I can take that concept and relate it to here, I think the Talmud Torah is doing so well, really, because we're standing on your shoulders, you know, and irrespective of where any single individual is holding or what you're busy with right now, there's this energy called Talmud Torah and this family called Talmud Torah that we come together with, and the word, I guess what I'm just trying to say is that the word is out there, and I have a tremendous hakar satov to you and appreciation to you for allowing the school and the school and future B'nos Yisrael come in and have their opportunity to thrive and to shine, and it's really a testament to how wonderful you all are. Have a good day.
Standing ovation.
Thank you. Okay. I want to share with you really one, I guess I'll share with you just a quick thought that that I said at some point, I think, over the course of the year, any given year, it's a medrash that I'm quite fond of quoting. And it's actually very interesting because it's the only medrash I know that repeats itself. It's brought down in two different places. I remember running into this. I remember seeing it quoted in one place, and then I remember seeing it in another place, in two different midrashim. And I was thinking, wow, that's so odd. But I guess the Medrash also holds that things that are worth saying are worth repeating, you know what I mean? So it repeats itself. And it said one time in Sefer Bereishis by Reuven, this is such nachas, by the way, you should both feel very comfortable. This is nachas for me, that I'm being interrupted by the next generation of children. It's just beautiful. I mean, you could try to keep them quiet. I'm just kidding. Oh, I'm just kidding, stop it. You know? But it's getting hot in here, right? yeah, it is. Anyway, so there's a medrash that's quoted in two different places. It's quoted in Sefer Bereishis the first time, the second time it's quoted in Medrash Rus. And the Medrash says something like this. The reason I thought about it again is it's this week's Parsha. It relates to this week's Parsha as well. But the Medrash says the following thing. The Medrash seems to take to task three different individuals. The Medrash comes in and says the following thing. When Yosef was stuck in the boar, so who saved him and who pulled him out? Who? No, not Yehuda. Who pulled him out of the boar? Reuven. Very good. Reuven pulled him out of the boar. Says the Medrash, Ilu yada Reuven, if Reuven would have known, she'akosuv machtiv alav, that the Torah is writing about him, hayamotzio al ktefav. Says the Medrash, Reuven wouldn't have gone to the boar and just pulled him out. Reuven would have gone to the boar and he would have straddled him on his shoulders, and he would have pranced around with him saying, I'm saving Yosef, I'm saving Yosef, look at me, look at me. That's what the Medrash says. And then the Medrash goes on Aaron HaKohen. Moshe Rabbeinu is fighting with Hashem, and Hashem says, go save Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. He says, go save Klal Yisrael. He says, no, I can't talk. He says, go save Klal Yisrael. No, I can't. And all kinds of terushim, we know this. Until finally, Moshe's trump card is, no, I can't. I've got an older brother. He's going to be insulted. Right? So Hashem says, no. V'ra'acha, don't worry. Aaron HaKohen will see you. V'samach belibo. He'll be happy in his heart. Aaron will be just fine. Don't worry about it. You're not stepping on his feelings. Right? Says the Medrash, Ilu Yada Aharon, if Aaron HaKohen would have known Shehakasav Machtiv Alav, that the Torah is writing about him, that Hashem is telling Moshe V'racha V'samach B'libo, he'll be happy. Haya Yotze B'tupim U'B'mecholos. He would come out to greet Moshe Rabbeinu with drums and fanfare, and also would have made a whole big deal about it. And lastly, by Rus and Boaz. When Boaz sends Rus off for the first time, so it says that he sends her off with some nuts, peanuts and nuts. And that sending her off with that little extra gave her koach to come back to him, and then they ended up getting married, and from that comes Mashiach. Says the Pasuk in Rus, in the Megillah, Ilu yada Boaz shakasav machtiv alav, if Boaz would have known that the Torah is writing about him, Hayamotzia, he would bring out to her agalimefutamot, he would bring her chicken and meat and all sorts of delicious meats, not just some nuts and candies. It's a very weird medrash. Like, what does that mean? If Reuven would have known, then he'd be like, oh, people are looking at me. Oh, no, let me make this like a very big deal. Let me put Yosef on my shoulder. If Aaron would have known that people are looking at me, oh, no. Let me bring out the marching band. I won't just come out and greet him. What, they're looking for kavod? Is that what the Midrash is expressing? That Reuven was looking for kavod, that Aaron was looking for kavod, that Boaz, oh, if he would have known that people were looking at him, oh, then he really would have made it a fancy meal. You know what I mean? Then he put out like maybe half the amount that the Lowingers put out here. That'd be pretty good too. Right? Let's start in the Midrash. The Midrash is expressing a very, very powerful point. And I think it's something that we grapple with on the day-to-day. When we come back home, there is, by definition, a sort of depression. Right? And I don't mean it in the clinical sense, although that might also happen. Right? But I don't mean it in the clinical sense. I mean, there's a certain, like, I don't even want to say dropping of standard. Just a standard that we feel like, wait a minute, I'm not really living up to par over here. And there's a certain dissonance that's created between my experience in Israel, if it was 1 year or 2 years or whatever it was, and then when I come home. And it's a pretty classic issue and a pretty standard issue that happens all the time. And girls and guys, I'm speaking to young ladies, grapple with it in different ways and in different situations and handle it differently, some better and some worse. What happens is we start to recognize that we can't, I'm going to use the words, live up to the certain standard that we set for ourselves when we were in Israel. And as much as I could stand there in Israel and preach to you, religion is not static. Religion is not about keeping that same standard that you kept there. It's not about that. It's about coming here and readjusting. It's about coming here and redefining. It's about coming here and letting it develop and letting it mesh and learning yourself and relearning. And now tefillah means something else, and now this means something else. Still, we take it in a very, very harsh way. We take it in a very harsh way because we say to ourselves, but I really know. I know what I'm capable of. I really know what I can do, and I know what I'm doing, and it's ridiculous. Like, come on, get real. You know what I mean? And it's wrong. And as much as I tell you it's wrong, you won't believe me that it's wrong. So comes along the Medrash and tells you something else. Comes along the Medrash and says the following thing. You don't know which action that you're going to do in your life is literally going to change the course of your future. And not just of your future, maybe even of the future of Klal Yisrael. And it's not measured by how big that action is. And it's not measured by how great that action looks. If Reuven would have realized that taking Yosef out of the pit, it wasn't a great thing, it was a humane thing. I won't kill my brother. I'll just take him out of the pit. Ruvain, do you realize that you're saving Klaliyot right now with this humane action? Aaron, do you realize that just your feelings, just the way you feel, your feelings of Arach, of Esamach Belibo, is changing Klaliyot? When you find yourself in a situation and you just have feelings, you don't know what those feelings are doing. And I dare say that's even when you're involved in an Aveira, even when you're doing something off. Says the Lev Eliyahu, it's no, you can't compare someone that sins versus someone that sins and krechts and says, ah, or oi, or oh, it's hard. Just that is huge. So like anything in life, we can take it and we can lie to ourselves, or we can take it and be like, okay, that sounds great. Sounds like fun, I'll do whatever, and then crafts. So it's all about being honest and about being real, which is what Tony Dvora, I think, tries to emphasize and encourage. You know, it's an amazing thing. Rav Ruderman said an amazing thing on this week's Parsha. Who were the two nurse ladies that came to, that took care of the children in Mitzrayim?
What is it?
Shifra and Pua, right? And we know who Shifra and Pua were. Who were they really? Yocheved and Miriam. What a crazy thing. The Torah refers to them as Shifra and Pua. Why Shifra and Pua? What are those names? Shifra, she mishaperet es havlad. She made the baby, she beautified the baby. She strengthened the baby when he was born, right? She ran the tests and checked and did. Right? And why Pua? What does Rashi say?
She would coo to the baby.
She would coo to the baby. Shifra and Pua. Yocheved and Miriam, the Nevios of Klal Yisrael, mother and sister of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Torah calls them Shifra and Pua. Why? Call them Yocheved and Miriam. Call them what they belong, what they deserve. HaNevios HaGdolos. Shifra and Pua. Said Rav Ruderman an amazing thing. To live Torah with the great act that everyone's willing to do. To live Torah with every big act. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. I'm going to save Klal Yisrael now. Anybody would step up to that. But to live Torah with the little things. Mishaperesis of love. The little tiny things. Get up in the morning. Today I will listen to that music. Today I won't. Today I will open up a sitter. Today I won't. Today I'm going to... The struggle, the fight. And you want to hear one of the most unbelievable things that I heard this week, and I'm just realizing now, I heard this on Shabbos. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze El Echav, Vayar B'Sivlosam. So Rashi is a very famous Rashi. This is my Bar Mitzvah Parsha, by the way. Thank you very much. It was my birthday. Yeah, I accept presents. Okay, so Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze El Echav, Vayar B'Sivlosam. Who's Vayetze El Echav? Who did he go out to? Who did he go to see? Moshe Rabbeinu was brought up in the palace. Who did he go out to see now? The slaves, right? His brethren, Klal Yisrael. He's finally stepping out of his gold little mansion, and he's stepping out to feel the pain of Klal Yisrael, right? Do you know what the Ibn Ezra says? No. This is unbelievable. The Ibn Ezra says the following thing. Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze El Echav. You know whose Echav were? The Egyptians. I'm a Mitzri. I'm an Egyptian. I'm brought up an Egyptian. I grew up in an Egyptian palace. I'm an Egyptian. Okay, you're sharp. You guys are so sharp. Right? I'm an Egyptian. This is my association. This is where I belong. Yeah? But Yetzer Alechav, he went out to see his fellow Egyptians. Wow, it's hard to rule over people. It's difficult to be a leader. It's difficult to be a taskmaster. You know how much work it is? He went out to see it. But Yarbus, he blows some, and he sees the pain, and he sees some, but he associates himself with an Egyptian. And then, the Yarish Mitri Makesh Ivri Me'echav. And he sees an Egyptian hitting a Jew. He says, oh, wait a minute, hitting a Jew? That doesn't work for me so much. That's not so good. And then Vayifen Kol V'chol V'yar Ke'enish V'yachas Amitri, and he makes that critical decision, that critical moment right there where Moshe Rabbeinu turns around and says, you know what? Maybe I'm not an Egyptian. Maybe I really belong to the Jews. Moshe Rabbeinu is in a struggle. The Psukim Mehinding to us a struggle. There's an internal battle going on. He was human. I'm Egyptian. I'm Jewish. I'm American. Oh, I'm Jewish. Thank you so much for that. Water?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's a young. Thank you. That's great. And that's a struggle that every single one of us has, doesn't it? I am American. I'm American. I'm Israeli. I'm American. I'm this. And that's my association. I'm Jewish. And how much of my Jewishness expresses on the day-to-day, and on the Christmas lights, and on the New Year's Eve, and on the New Year's. I love it, by the way. I really do. I love the music. I love the environment. It's like a fun time to be here, you know? Maybe just to visit. but it's fun. It's enjoyable. But, like, be honest with the struggle. And when you're honest with the struggle, that allows you to also take pride in the small accomplishments. And when you take pride in the small accomplishments, you begin to realize that maybe those small accomplishments aren't so small. Maybe I'm wrong for trying to compare them to what I've done when I was in Israel. And maybe those small accomplishments are really massive accomplishments that I'm doing. To date here on the day-to-day, to be married here, to have a job here, to work here. There's challenge. I get it. And the music, it's a challenge. And the identity and the struggle, I get it. I don't know if you get it as much as I do. Allow it. Allow it. And then the question is what you do with it. Do you take pride in the little successes? Or do you poo-poo with them? Are you living like a Shifra and Pua that says, yeah, it's the little thing, the little things, the little things I do every day, the little things I do every day. Or every other day, or every third day. That's what defines us. It's what defines us as a Klal Yisrael. It's what defines us as individuals. And I'll say one last thing, and then I'm going to let you go, because I know I overstepped my time. Mrs. Chuck, are you speaking? Are you speaking? It's an interesting thing, you know? Listen to this. Sefer Bereishis is about the individuals. Sefer Shmos, which we just started now, turns into a Klal Yisrael. And maybe this is also a little window and a hint into the way we're supposed to develop ourselves as well. You go into your year in Israel and it's very much about the individual. My experience and what I'm looking for, and you know, it's all about you, and we always turn to you, what do you want? No, it's about you. Now, I'm not going to tell you what to do. What do you do? And then maybe coming over here, once you step out of that little Kabbalah Satorah that you have, yeah? Maybe the way to survive through a midbar is when you have a Sefer Shmos, when you begin to... Hi. How are you?
Good, thank you
so much. It's really like you bought yourself a lot of trouble from now on.
My pleasure. I'm not scared.
You will be. You're not. Okay, great. Right. It's really such an honor to be here. It really is.
You feel the same. Thanks.
Okay, good. You're welcome then. I'm just kidding. Anyway, then come Sefer Shmos. And then Sefer Shmos, maybe the way to get through a midbar, the way to get through a desert, is to feel the association of a Klal Yisrael, to feel like I'm part of something a little bit bigger. I'm not just an individual on my own figuring this out, but I'm part of something a little bit bigger. And I think that a reunion like this allows us to tap into that sense and that feeling. If we go through our own daily struggles on the day-to-day, either we do reach out to one or two girls or we don't, or we do reach out to a staff member or we don't, or we do reach out to whoever, to a family member, friends, or whatever, or we don't, yeah? But suddenly you take a step back and you recognize, hey, whoa, time out. There's lots of people over here that struggle. There's lots of people over here that have challenges. There's lots of people over here that experience a certain clarity or a certain experience. And that's part of the challenge, and that's part of what we do. So maybe as we lead into and begin and open up Sefer Shmos and go through Klal Yisrael Svargos, we could tap into that sense also. Wait a minute, I'm part of a bigger Am Yisrael, I'm part of a Tomer Devora family. Yeah, part of a much bigger family. I cannot emphasize enough, and with this I'll end, I cannot emphasize enough how meaningful it is to us. How meaningful it is to us. And again, I'm taking the liberty to speak on behalf of all the staff. How meaningful it is that even if we haven't heard from you after a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, suddenly you shoot an email, suddenly you send an update with nothing or with something. Either way, either with a struggle or without a struggle. Either like, hey, here's my update or here's not my update. Just a hello, just I'm coming to Israel or I'm not coming to Israel. When are you coming? Just this is what I'm busy with my life. Just want to reach out. It's very meaningful. And we feel a piece of ourselves in you. We do. And it's very meaningful. So again, with that, I want to thank you for giving us the chizuk to allow us to continue doing what we're doing. Two things that I just want to point out to you in terms of keeping in touch. There's a Poland trip, you know, that we've really, last year was the first year that we did it on our own. Like I told you, the Tomer Devora is really developing. One of the ways where you see it and it's expressed, like the success of the school, is we started doing our own Poland trip. We don't do it with other schools. We have enough critical mass. We have enough people interested, and it's a very phenomenal, very, very powerful experience if you haven't done it, or even if you have. And either way, we decided that we're going to open it up to alumni as well. So alumni that are interested in joining the Poland trip, that's around Pesach time. We know the dates on that yet, or no?
Yeah, information
was sent out already. Okay. Fine. So information was sent out. I think it'll be sent. More information will be sent out again. But if that's something that you want to consider, definitely open yourself up to it. It's not just about, again, if you're sensing, it's not just about the trip
April
itself.
But
it's pardon?
April 3rd to 8th.
April 3rd to 8th, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Mocha. Yeah. April 3rd to 8th. So that's again something that if you want to. Tap into. I think you're not just tapping into the experience of the Poland trip, but it's again reconnecting with the family. That's one thing. The second thing that we really work very, very actively on, if you haven't noticed, but it really is this alumni relations and getting in touch and staying connected and being connected and trying to find other ways. And we are, first of all, extremely, extremely, extremely receptive and open to ideas. We're open to ideas of what else can we do to be here and that you should feel our availability and us being around. What else, how else can we do it? So if you have ideas, things that you know other places do, or you just came up with an idea yourself, we're very, very open and very malleable and very receptive to it. That's number one. But number two, what we have done and what we have instituted and we just got this kicking is these alumni shiurim. Yeah, I know that you got on the WhatsApp groups, you got to shiurim. You know, it's great for you just in general to tap into shiurim, any shiurim that works for you. I think it's a different experience when you reconnect to the shiurim that you had in seminary. And you get to hear Rabbi Lev, and you get to hear Rabbi Schechter, and you get to hear, you know, just all the various different teachers, Mrs. Mendelowitz, and Mrs. Lichtman, and Mrs. Trank, and, you know, and you hear all these teachers again, you know, speaking and doing it in class. You know, I think it's a powerful reconnection for you also. So that might be something that you may want to consider again also, just tapping into us. Just another way that we thought we can keep this part going and keep the connection going. So with that, I want to thank you for coming together, for bearing with me here. And keep going with that. Okay. And now, without any further ado, for the main speaker, I would like to ask Mrs. Trank to get up. I'm going to go. I'll go. I like
that. And also, I'm going to give people a chance to say goodbye to each other if they need to leave also.
So, five minutes?
Everyone can stay as long as they want. Like, no one.
Oh, really? Okay, great. What time is supper?
Leftovers.
Thank you.
Can I actually ask a question?
Yeah. Oh, like privately. Oh, yeah. Okay, got it. Let me know what a question means.